Hello and welcome to Inside the NYPD, the official podcast of the New York City Police Department, broadcasting from police headquarters in Lower Manhattan to our listeners around the world. In this edition, New York's finest honor their fallen at the memorial wall at police headquarters and conduct the biggest narcotics raid in memory. I'm Jesse Peterman. In the lobby of police headquarters, a memorial wall lists the names of New York City police officers who have fallen in the line of duty. On May 11th, Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly and Mayor Michael Bloomberg added the names of Police Officer Dylan Stewart, Police Officer Daniel Enchategui, and School Safety Agent Vivian Samuels. These names are also to be added to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial on E Street in Washington, D.C. on May 13th. On November 28, 2005, police officer Dylan Stewart was on patrol in an unmarked car in Brooklyn's 70th Precinct when he and his partner attempted to stop a motorist who had run a red light at the corner of Church and Flatbush Avenues in Brooklyn. As they pulled up alongside the vehicle, the driver fired at the police car five times. Officer Stewart, who was driving at the time, was shot through the heart. Despite being mortally wounded, Officer Stewart did not give up the chase and followed the suspect to a nearby parking garage. He was later taken to Kings County Hospital, where he succumbed to the gunshot wound that penetrated the left ventricle of his heart. Dylan Stewart was 35 years old and a five-year veteran of the department. He is survived by his wife, Leslyn, and his two daughters, Alexis and Samantha. On Saturday, December 10, 2005, off-duty police officer Daniel Enchategui heard the sound of glass breaking from the house next door to his home in the Bronx. Officer Enchategui called 911 and reported a burglary in progress. He then went outside to meet with the police when he encountered the two burglary suspects. An exchange of gunfire ensued. All three men were struck. Officer Enchategui was found lying in the driveway with a gunshot wound to the body, his gun lying at his side. His police shield was around his neck, and a cell phone was in his hand. He was taken to Jacoby Hospital, where he later died. He was 28 years old and a three-year veteran of the department. He is survived by his parents, Pedro and Maria Rosa, and sister Yolanda Rosa Nazario. On Friday, December 16, 2005, school safety agent Vivian Samuels was attempting to remove a disorderly student from a holiday dance at a Brooklyn school. The student was resisting attempts to be escorted from the school when Agent Samuels experienced shortness of breath. She was transported to Kings County Hospital, where she died a short time later of cardiac arrest. Vivian Samuels was 56 and was appointed to the Department of Education in 1981. In her 24-year career, she provided a safe learning environment for thousands of students. She is survived by her two sons, Irving and Ronique, and her seven siblings. Commissioner Kelly said the memorial wall exists to honor their sacrifice and to inspire us to rededicate ourselves to the work they left unfinished. New York City narcotics investigators recently concluded an 18-month investigation into narcotics activity in Brooklyn's Red Hook houses. In response to community complaints about drug activity in the Red Hook houses, investigators began a large-scale undercover investigation. Undercover officers made more than 200 purchases from dozens of drug dealers in the Red Hook development. The drug dealers had divided the housing development into 19 distinct areas, each controlled by a different drug dealing crew. Their hope was that this agreement would limit violence and not draw attention of the police. Their motto was, "No beef, no police." The 19 areas had names that included Slytown, Paradise, and Flagpole. All of these spots were all dismantled following an April 2006 raid that involved hundreds of police officers and scores of arrests. The NYPD's Jason Post sat down with the lead investigators.
Detective Paul Strafacci and Juan Carlo Ramos were the case officers in the Brooklyn South Narcotics Major Case Unit's operation Off the Hook. How many people were arrested in connection with this investigation?
To date, 153 people have been arrested in regards to this investigation. In addition, we have executed 92 search warrants. 51 of these search warrants were actual on residents. The other 41 were on electronic devices, including cell phones and Palm Pilots.
What were some of the things that you recovered in your search warrants?
In total, we recovered 11 firearms throughout the investigation. Some of these firearms were stolen from out of state. others with the face. We also recovered two bullet-resistant vests. We recovered two stun guns, and we also recovered $30,000.
How did the research you conducted before even undercover purchases were made help you in this case?
This was an enormous tool for us because it gave us the whole structure of the Red Hook development. It told us who were the main players, who were the middle-level players. It told us what apartments were being used for, as stash houses. It basically gave us the whole structure of the drug organization and each group and how they were defined, and it enabled us to tell our undercovers before we even had the undercovers step out to those locations who were the bad people, who were the violent people, who were the people that they needed to step to. It was an invaluable tool. This is by far the biggest case that I have been involved in, either by my own initiation or any other unit within the police department.
Well, what made it really interesting is you have the 33 buildings there. They were subdivided by the actual drug dealers and were given their own names, which the drug dealers called blocks. And pretty much there was an agreement made between bosses within the Red Hook projects, usually in the courtyards, to determine who's going to work what block, how much of a certain amount of weight will go in each bag to sell. That's pretty much how it was established. So it's loosely organized in that they had their separate blocks, but no one could infiltrate to sell. Then the whole project would band together to make sure no one else could come in.
In this case, a number of subjects were charged with conspiracy. How does that help you in the investigation?
Well, what's interesting with the conspiracy charge is most of the time when we work in narcotics operation, the bosses who tend not to touch the drugs walk away scot-free. With the conspiracy charge, it allows us to go after them even when they're not directly involved in sales, for example, using their cell phones or verbally making agreements with others to sell on certain blocks. The conspiracy charge allows us to go after them for that.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Finally, a word on joining New York's finest. The NYPD offers a job with a future, a great place to serve, and a chance to advance. For more information, call 212-RECRUIT or visit us on the web at www.nypdrecruit.com. Thank you for listening to the New York City Police Department podcast. For Inside the NYPD, I'm Jesse Peterman.